Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is and the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably took
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great, though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it, too, for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis. And she straight up told me, she's like, I don't hurt like I hurt before.
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so awesome. Honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This weekend, I will be at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. If you live near the tech part of NorCal, I'm talking Palo Alto, I'm talking Sunnyvale, I'm talking fucking Pleasanton, California. Google, Facebook, Amazon, it's all in fucking NorCal, baby. And that's where I'm going to be, at Sunnyvale's Rooster Teeth Feathers Comedy Club this Thursday through Sunday, the 22nd of August. Through the 25th, get your tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. But before this weekend, tonight, I'm going to be at the Laugh Factory at 9:45 on a fucking killer lineup with Harlan Williams, Jeff Dye, the Sklar Brothers, Brian Scalaro. It's star-studded. Get your tickets at LaughFactory.com at 9:45 tonight. Tomorrow, I will be at the Comedy Store at 8 for a big show in the main room, and also at the goddamn Comedy Jam's five-year anniversary show at the Roxy at 9. Tonight, Laugh Factory 9:45. Tomorrow, Comedy Store Main Room 8 p.m. And tomorrow, Roxy, goddamn Comedy Jam 5th year anniversary show 9 p.m. Go get your tickets and come to the shows. And then this Thursday through Sunday, Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale, California. Tickets at AdamRayComedy.com. This weekend, Brad Williams will be in Denver at the Comedy Works South Friday, Saturday, go see Brad. Comedy Works South, Denver, Colorado, Friday and Saturday. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. Today's episode is a doozy. A returning ALN guest, a fellow Seattleite, former UW Husky football player, member of Almost Live in Seattle. You know him from Spider-Man. You know him from Community. You know him from the Joel McHale Show with Joel McHale on Netflix. You know him from The Soup. You know him from the upcoming film that he's about to do that hasn't been announced yet, the horror film in Vancouver. And you know him from Raising the 12th Man flag. You know him from Shark Week on Discovery Channel. It's Joel McHale. Joel McHale returning to the podcast. And you know, it's always great when you get to know somebody more after a podcast. Joel and I become good buds. He's one of the funniest dudes and nicest dudes in the biz. And the energy and the vibe in this episode is just... It's a previous episode we did with Joel on steroids. A lot more fun, a lot more banter, and we cover a lot more. So enjoy the hell out of this one, and follow Joel on Instagram and Twitter at Joel McHale, and check out his Amazon special, his first ever stand-up special, Joel McHale Live from Pyongyang, filmed at the San Jose Improv. It's on Amazon. Go get it. Watch it right now. It's fucking amazing. Joel's hilarious. It's his first stand-up special, Live from Pyongyang on Amazon. Go check that out. And follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, Brad at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. Hit us up at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Merch, Fan of the Week merch is being sent out this week. So keep sending us your emails at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Where you get the pod, how you got into it, your favorite eps, why you listen to it, and all that jazz. Because we got more Fan of the Weeks being introduced in the next coming weeks. Which we have killer episodes coming up. Holy shit. Ronnie 2K, Gary Payton, Blake Griffin, Gabriel Iglesias, Adam Devine, Tony Cavallaro, Ian Edwards, Rick Glassman. So many killer eps coming up. So make sure you're subscribed on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Tell your family and friends. Rate the podcast on iTunes. Give it a 5-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. Check out my album, Read the Room, on Spotify, Amazon, Google Play. It's my my pride and joy. Read the Room, my last stand-up album filmed and recorded at the famous Punchline in San Fran. Get it right now, Spotify, Amazon, Google Play, iTunes, Read the Room. And, of course, She-Ra Season 3 on Netflix. A few other big announcements coming up, but I will wait for those. Next week is Gary Payton, which was a fucking unreal experience. Can't wait to post those clips and the full ep on YouTube and the audio online, of course. And tour dates through the roof through the next 3-4 months. I'm also going on tour with Dan Cook. I'm doing Radio City Music Hall in New York. All those tickets and tour date info at adamraycomedy.com. Now with the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very, very funny and the one and only Joel McHale.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down? And
so why don't you sit down and
listen to our dope podcast.
To our dope.
Whether
podcast.
Lunch, dinner, or breakfast.
Lunch, dinner, or breakfast.
Brad Williams and Adam Ray are
Ray.
Here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Right.
Oh, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Do you want to? You can pull this.
No, I like it like this.
Do you? There you go. Or you could turn. You can turn this thing.
This.
Like that.
Like
yeah.
All it turns.
Yeah.
Feel like you could have splurged a little more because then they would get the full rotation.
Now, you said this is as nice as your place, but I feel like the McHale Mansion.
Yeah, it's way better.
Yeah, is it? Yeah. What was your, do you remember your first, like, I don't know, purchase that you got in the new place? You know, like, was it for your kid? Was it for your wife? Was it for you?
I think it was the Hope Diamond. Size of a grapefruit.
The soup is syndicated everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Like it's
no,
doing
it's
really,
not.
It's
not. Yeah. I will tell you when I way back when before you were born.
Yeah.
How old were you in 92?
Great. Yeah, I was 10.
Yeah.
Eight,
yes.
Which is like
I just bought my first Larry Bird jersey.
Wow.
Yeah, with my own money.
Huge Sonics fan.
Yeah. Hey, dude. Sometimes.
You still had him and you were buying Larry Bird jerseys.
Well, in my defense, Ladies Foot Locker was sold out of Michael Cage jerseys. So.
Oh.
Who's the next
ladies'
best?
Ladies Foot Locker.
Yeah, dude. Men's Foot Locker sold out of.
Oh, right. So.
Look, this bit came and went.
I met Michael Cage in a Cucina on Lake Union.
Is that the male version of Eat, Love, Pray?
How dare you? It means kitchen in Japanese.
Which, why do they say it twice then? Cucina.
Oh, are you saying Italians are hard of hearing or something? I see. Racist.
That's so, me.
No, I met him. And he was the size of a house.
Yeah.
Michael Cage. For all of you that are listening that don't know who Michael Cage, he was on the Sonics. He was like a four position, three or four.
Probably would have been like, all star. I mean, he was great in the 90s, but he backed up, Kemp.
And Peyton. So,
but 6'10".
Look him up and just look at the physical specimen.
Yeah.
And you're a tall man. You're what, 6'3"? Oh,
you're in cage shape right now, dude.
6'4". Thank you. God bless you.
I don't see height.
I don't know how you could.
Dude, yeah. I mean,
it's like when you look at a mountain, you can't just guess how high
he heard your dwarf joke and he raised you, pun intended, a better joke.
5'8 and above all looks the same to me. I have no idea.
Too soon.
I hope we do your topless DVDs later. No. So, what am I saying?
Cage. Met Cage at Cucina.
Yeah, but,
your first purchase.
I bought all
a Cucina.
This is, kids are listening. There used to be these things called compact discs.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's how you would listen to music.
Yeah.
At the time, it was a revelation because it sounded better and you could skip tracks.
Yeah.
Anywhere you like. It was, you could, best. And then you could carry hundreds of them with you in binders. Ridiculously sized binders. Yeah.
Everyone had a CD case in the backseat of their car.
By the way, let's talk about how many holders there were in the there wasn't like, there was always like you could get a holder for 10 CDs or 20,000.
Or 20,000.
Yeah.
And like me, you would listen to four of them.
Yes. Yeah. And that was the one in the visor binder. That was like your top six.
Okay, I never got the visor.
Ah, see, you weren't living the good life.
I should have got the visor because the amount... I think I was... like, when people text and drive, I was like, flip through a binder.
Way more dangerous,
flip through a photo album while you're driving.
That is such...
And that same sound of those plastic things smacking each other.
That is such a good point. Like, way more dangerous back then than texting, I think, because... Oh, yeah. You can't, when texting, you can almost kind of, autocorrect and trust that the syllables and sentences are going to go where they're supposed to go. But with a CD, you're like, I need all my attention on picking the right soundtrack to die to.
Right. To go, he was listening to Brimful of Asha when he died.
And that would have
been a right thing.
Yeah.
And Corner Shop's Brimful of Asha. Remember that?
Wow.
Yes.
I'm not going to sing it because I know you'd have to pay for it.
Why? I just saw that bit you did on Fallon, by the way. That was so good.
Oh.
Talk about like good couch riffs.
Which?
About the Beatles.
Yes.
Dude, so funny.
Well, he's also a musical genius, so it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like, I don't know. The give and take was great. If you haven't seen it, you got to look it up. This was like a couple weeks ago, right?
Jimmy Fallon. He's a very nice man.
You guys were talking about, he said something, he sung a part of a line, and then you're like, do you have to pay for that? And he's like, no, because I sang it like one note down. Oh, it's the Friends theme song. So he goes,
yeah. Right.
And then Joe was like, and then he brought up this point about, what about, he's like, a Beatles song is just way too expensive. He's like, yes. Like, I can sing the beginning of Hey, and then nothing. Right. And then he's like, what about Help? Like, Help. And then Jimmy's like, no. And he's like, Jimmy's like, you have to say Crisis. So then they sang the whole Beatles song Help, but changed it to
I need someone.
Yeah, dude.
Crisis.
Are there certain guys like that you don't get, you don't have any nerves to play with because they're just like
home runners? I'm not. Thank you for thinking. I lost all my nerves a while ago between being on David Letterman and doing the White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Yeah.
How about those drops, guys?
White House Correspondents' Dinner, once you joke to people that have their fingers on the buttons.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like there's for a comedian, like that's, people forget about where that falls in like the line of credits and accomplishments.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
But more so in the... I didn't know what to do. I was so nervous.
Yeah.
I could taste I was like, the amount of, like, I was like, will my mouth be full of saliva or will it have no saliva?
Oh, God.
When I stood up, I had a dizzy spell. Like, when they're like, Jesus. And Joel, they're like, Joel, you're up. And I stood up and I had this little dizzy spell and I was like, perfect time to vomit. What if and so after that, I don't think I've ever had like that sort of, but right. I did have, I mean, the only, this is terrible to say, but it was the only time I had butterflies was when I gave a little talk of my grandmother's funeral, because I was like, this is the thing I want to say about my grandmother. Yeah, the last thing.
Yeah, well, and that, right. And that, and whether it's a funeral or if like you end up doing a toast at your friend's wedding, really good. He oh, does yeah. this for a living. And you're like, that's that.
Yeah. And then it's, yeah. You, when, as you know, in our profession, you're singing yeah. for your supper all the time.
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah.
It would. So that said, like with Fallon, I know how good of an improviser he is.
Right.
And you can throw him almost anything, and he knows how to play. Dang. And he will make the most boring people seem incredibly charismatic.
It's a true gift.
I mean, and yep. that's what it takes to be the host of a talk show like the Tonight Show, where it's yeah, like
you got
to
keep the ball.
Yeah, because it's like when the third Kardashian sister comes on, you have to know how to make that interview work.
Yeah, how dare wow. you? Yeah. They are amazing.
Dude, you don't
yeah.
know which one I was talking about. They I said
his,
third.
They paid the
third?
His bills for yeah. a minute.
You don't know.
Have you ever sent them a thank you card just for the amount of content that they provided?
Oh, I think. Not yet. I don't know how to get it to them anymore.
Would you?
I think they own Calabasas. It's a walled city now. It's a, right?
Is that where they live?
That's where. That's yes, where. That's
only
where Trump
for
built
the last
wall.
20 years on television.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I was saying like almost. I would say every talk show. I mean, everybody plays now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not just, well, tell your story, and that's yeah. a good story time. Yeah. They all play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's the best thing now, I think, when you can have an actual conversation. Is then we, it's from Kimmel to Seth Meyer. I mean, Corden does it. And,
yeah.
of course, Conan is amazing the at best. It. Yeah. He's got Andy Richter next to him. And so, anyway.
Does it make you want to do that? Like, because oh, I feel like, no.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I would ever be allowed. So,
think, because you've made fun of the format for so long?
No, I never made fun of. No, I didn't make fun of. I always like late night. Not yeah. that I didn't like other shows, but I'm an old man.
I mean, you are the host of Card Sharks.
Transition.
And they only hire young men.
Yes.
Oh, God. I hope
Alec Baldwin.
If I knew the rest of that song, yeah. I would have gone right
I hope trans fucking nation.
What is it? Young men. What is that song?
Young there, men.
There's a no YMCA.
Yeah, down. You went YMCA and you jumped in the Navy.
In the Navy.
Yeah.
Can but
you
same
their,
group.
Can you name their other hit?
You mean Macho Man?
Wow. Well done.
You mean Macho Man.
I mean,
well, wow. I was going to say Stairway to Heaven.
And you would have been also right because yep. they did a cover.
I'm sure they did.
Wait, name the group though.
Village People.
Okay.
No, that's wrong.
Whoa. Yeah, Brad.
It's Duran Duran.
Oh. Yep.
Yes, this Village People.
This is the Mandela effect.
No, it's Village People. Yeah, okay, anyway. We're
he just introduced me to the Mandela effect. I didn't even know that was. I heard of it.
I don't even know what it is.
The
But you didn't obviously believe it was Duran Duran when I said that.
No, okay, I was committing to the
bit. Going along with the bit.
Well, we're man, yes ending.
Home court
I
advantage,
like
man.
I like that a lot.
It's my loft. I know how to yes and.
What were we going to say? Mandela?
The
effect?
Mandela effect is where something becomes widely known in the general populace that isn't actually true. For instance.
I got one of those.
Yeah. For instance, Darth Vader never actually says the words, Luke, I am your father, in Empire Strikes Back.
He says, baby got back.
But so many people have said that.
Anticipate it. Yeah.
That everyone just thinks that that's how the movie goes, but he never says that actual line.
Same thing in Casablanca. He never says, play it again, Sam.
Yeah. And
he says versions of it.
Yeah.
He does say, play it again, sports is making it.
So that, folks, for your listener there, is it your which of your parents is listening?
Now it's my stepdad, my mom.
Oh, yeah. Play it again, sports.
Mom tuned out.
Yeah.
It's a local sporting goods in Seattle.
It is.
It's been down here.
Here's a little why is it Mandela effect? Why is it called?
Because the world at one point, everyone knew that Nelson Mandela had died in prison, but he actually hadn't. The world thought that
I didn't even know
Nelson
that.
Mandela had died.
But here's the thing I learned on Shark Week. Thanks for transitioning.
Yes.
Yeah.
To another thing that I am on that has the word shark in it. We'll get to Shark Tank later. But
that is Mark Cuban
they're like,
smell.
If you put a drop of blood in the ocean, sharks just show up.
Yeah.
That is definitely not true.
It's right. not?
No.
No,
look,
because
there we go.
There's so much blood in the ocean from constant.
It would be like
getting,
you taking a raw steak and just setting it in the middle of the highway and go like, any moment, all the dogs will be showing up. Yeah. And like, I don't know. This highway seems pretty desolate. And
right. Nothing. Who started that rumor? Sharks?
I think people start. I think movies did it. Yeah, you know, like Jaws. Someone, oh no. And like, I'm bleeding out of my finger. Now they're all going to come.
Whoa.
Whoa. Look at you. So, you know, your kids will listen. Yeah. And, no, we were, I mean, speaking, when we were trying to find a tiger shark, they filled the water. We were in 30 feet down, sitting on the bottom of the ocean with all of our gear on, just waiting for sharks. And there was so much chum in the water that you couldn't see anything. There was so much blood and fish guts around us. You could hardly see 10 feet.
That's terrifying.
No shark showed up. Lunch was served and they were like, we are not interested. Anyway, so where were you?
Were you in the water or were you just like in a, you
know, I was in the water.
TGI Fridays next to a lobster tank.
No, it was a David Busters. Yeah. and they have them underwater.
There were several other celebrities with you in this bit, right?
Yes, there were.
Yeah. Who else is with you in it?
Mr. Adam Devine, one of the funny people, one of the funniest people alive, of course, Rob Riggle.
Yep.
Who is funny, and you was in the Marines and fought so he could kill all of us.
That's crazy.
That's like too much. Like many people say that Joel McHale has too much because you're funny and good looking. I would be one of those people.
Rob Riggle knows how to kill.
Yeah, Rob Riggle can kill you and survive and all that.
He knows what to do.
Plus, did you talk to him about that?
The few days was pretty crazy how busy it was. Damon Wayans Jr., who I had not... never met. He's really funny. Yeah. And then, of course, Anthony Anderson.
Come on.
Who, if he wanted to run for president, could probably be president.
Dude, I have gotten that vibe, and I've only... And it wasn't even meeting. It was just like in a circle, and then, oh, this is whatever. But I've observed, like, just it... He just seems like... charisma.
Yeah, I told the story. Like, he walked into the casino... And people start recognize him, and he just screams out. He's like, "Are we taking pictures, motherfuckers?" And then it's a meet and greet,
dude. That's awesome.
And nobody says motherfucker better than him.
Yeah,
It's
true.
I've never heard anybody say. He says it so well that, you know, like with my kids, I'm like, try not to say it. And I'm like, you can say motherfucker if you can say it well as him. Just go ahead.
Yeah, Pixar or Disney finally just wants to roll the dice and let a character curse.
Why not?
Like they got to make it him.
I mean,
they should. Yeah, and then he's on like 9 shows.
Yeah,
and he can take
good riffers, and like you guys were all just
and Riggle was had the hard job of being our like the leader and the host, and so we gave him a lot to deal with. But he's anybody who's fought in a war get a bunch of celebrities going like, I don't want to get bit by a shark, then you're fine.
Wait, so how does this opportunity even come about? Like, this is Shark Week, but then this is their first like celebrity edition, right?
No, they ask how long you can hold your breath, and then they test you on it.
That's it?
No, they don't do any of that. So will you show up to the Bahamas and come down and do it?
You're like, so free trip to the Bahamas, that's the plus. The minus... Possibly being eaten by a shark.
Possible death.
So
they have to tell you that, I'm sure, huh?
No.
They didn't.
They didn't say free trip to the Bahamas. I think it was inherent.
Yeah. That
if you're being like, you will be asked to swim with the sharks. Mm-hmm. And then if you're going to say no, then you're not going to be doing much.
Right,
right.
You'll be sitting on a boat.
Yeah.
Though I did, because you have all this gear on and it's super hot. Once you get the water, it's great. Once you get all up, but the boat is, I mean, it's 90 degrees out, it's humid, and you're not in the water. And I said, do you mind if I just jump in? And they're like, go ahead, but just make sure you turn around and come back quick. And I'm like, okay. I jump in, I grab the thing, I turn around, and there's just 4 sharks coming right towards us because that's when we had found the sharks, and there was like 30 of them circling, and they all are, they're like dogs. When you finally get the food out, they're like, great, if you got more food, we would like to eat it. And so they see another guy jump, and they're like, he must have more food. And then I thought, well, that's
so did they not tell you that, oh, by the way, there's sharks, or did you just discover that when you jumped in?
No, they were like, the first time we jumped in with all the scuba gear,
right,
I had landed at like 11 at night, and we were out on the water by 7 a.m.
Oh, wow.
We got to the site at like 9, and they're like, suit up. And they're like, they're here. And they were there. And you look down, they're like, it was like a movie.
Yeah.
Like a James Bond movie where you're like, there's the shark tank.
And are you scuba certified? Have you done that before?
I did it once. for an hour.
Okay.
In the 90s.
And then so you're good.
they called me and they were like, so you need to get certified. It's going to take like 4 days. You need, I was like, you got 2 hours.
And that's enough to learn everything.
The guy showed up to my house and we got in the pool. I have a pool. Thank you. And I know you have a pool, but other people.
No.
No.
You used to
There's no pool in this place?
I know. It's the one.
That's ridiculous.
Bummer. I know.
It's got a very large bathtub, though.
It's Los Angeles.
I know.
Anyway, the guy, he was a Marine, and we just went over. He goes, I'm going to teach you how not to die. And
what are the tactics?
Well, you know, the biggest key to punching, yes, punch the animals. No, the biggest key is not to panic and not to, people lose their shit because they are like, I got a mask on, I'm breathing, now I'm underwater, and I'm, and they don't know how people are going to react. And, okay, I was taught very long ago at a wedding, no joke, in Spokane, Washington.
Hell yeah.
And there happened to be this Navy SEAL there who then I was like, as a kid, I was like, what do you do? And he's like, you know, the real key to the whole thing is just remaining calm and breathing deep. And he was like, just breathe and tell yourself to remain calm. And he's like, that's really the biggest obstacle for anybody. It's mostly psychological.
Yeah.
And I was like, that makes a lot of sense. And so I just made sure I just did everything slowly.
Yeah.
And
that helped.
And now I'm bragging, but no, I was like, how often do people lose it? He's like, people lose it all the time.
Oh, I thought I would lose my shit.
But there are some, when you look at the actual, what you have like two air sources on your body.
Yep.
If you somehow lose those, everyone around you has a secondary air source.
Right.
And if it's really bad, I mean, if you're way down deep and there's no air, I don't know how anyone gets in that situation. Yeah. Right. You rarely hear, how did that scuba diver die? I was like, just ran out of air.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
He was just there too long and just it ran out. You rarely hear that. It's always they got caught in a cave and they got turned around.
Right.
Then they ran, you know, like that happens.
I've done it one time at an aquarium in Australia. I got to swim with the sharks in the aquarium.
How was that?
Fucking amazing. And the best part was that there was people going through the aquarium while I'm doing it. So they thought, they just like, they're looking at sharks, but then they see a dwarf in scuba gear come in. They're like, fuck that. I'm looking at that species over there. So they just started staring at me, which was, that was weird.
That's pretty good.
But that was, so what you talk about is they told me the same thing, where you just concentrate on your breathing, focus, and there were two other people with me. And
anybody panic?
One person was like, they were all gung-ho about it and they talked a lot of shit, and then the second their head went below the water, they just start going and they just start panicking like crazy, and they didn't end up doing it, but it was a blast.
So he got like just below the surface and he's like, I'm out.
Yeah, just below, like not even hair down below, just their eyes got below the surface. And
for you folks out there that are contemplating whether you want to do it or not, you should definitely try at least, because it is it's
amazing.
Where do you chalk it up as far as your adrenaline rushes, you know? Like, what was a bigger adrenaline rush? Swimming with the sharks or taping your special?
Oh,
another transition.
Adam Ray, he will go down in history as the greatest transitioner.
Other than Caitlyn Jenner, yes.
How dare you?
How dare you, dude? She will be the best.
I mean, yeah.
I dare Caitlyn Jenner to try to transition like Adam Ray just did. I mean, can't just smoothly go into that like that. No, that's impossible.
Adam has said it a million times very publicly that he has transitioned better than Caitlyn Jenner.
I think I'm doing fine.
A lot of guests. Dana Carvey sat right here. He'd be amazed, too.
Mm-hmm. So answer the question. What was a bigger adrenaline rush?
Well, first of all,
before we transition to the special.
The sharks were a bigger adrenaline rush.
Yeah, obviously.
Because I had...
Sharks.
It wasn't like I was going out... I mean, I had two shots at doing the special.
Yeah.
For those of you out there, you probably know, you tape it more than once, because if you fuck it up, you can pull from two different shows. Mm-hmm. But I knew those jokes backwards and forwards.
Right.
But when you're in a different world, like 30 feet underwater with sharks, and, you know, Adam Devine... You might go like, oh, this is really different.
Was there the plan that if you started panicking or the shark started getting angry, that you would stick Adam Devine with a knife and then you swim away?
No, I promised that I was going to go into my set from the special and see if that would make the shark go away.
Yeah, yeah. which you're talking about, live from Pyongyang.
Pyongyang. Pretty good.
Available on Amazon, right? That's what we're sending
people.
Yeah,
it's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. It's also, go on my website if you don't have an Amazon account. But if you don't have an Amazon account, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, at this point, I feel like there's certain accounts you got to have. We're talking Grubhub. We're talking Pornhub. We're talking Netflix.
I have never used Grubhub in my life.
Notice, he didn't say Pornhub.
Yeah. Well, that's the bit,
Wait.
Brad.
I feel like
what's your,
I get those Postmates, like we used to do some Postmates, but I was like, I can't justify this cost. I'm just going to get in my car and go get it.
That's a smart move.
I mean, I get that it is employing a lot of people, but.
But those people should be getting other jobs than bringing me a Slurpee at 3 a.m.
And you should really be thinking about what's going on.
Well,
that's a second guess.
Wait, I can lay down on that couch.
How much bourbon have you had that you're getting a Slurpee at 3?
Not enough.
Didn't one try to bring you a Slurpee at 3 a.m. and then it failed or something?
And they left it, He, it's
really?
Not a bit. He's going to make me do the bit.
No, don't do the bit.
Well, I will tell you the story.
Okay.
No, you tell me first what you were going to say.
No, my friend was like, she got frozen yogurt. And it was delivered by Postmates. And she's like, oh, it was kind of melted. It cost $25. I'm like, yeah, well, you don't go to a... You need to go to the frozen yogurt place.
You're going to make sure it gets fresh. Home in time.
Yeah, you can't...
He's doing other things like, oh, I don't know, not caring about getting your frozen yogurt
right.
on time.
And the guy must have been like, CDs. Well, I can't... I'm not going to break the land speed record or bring her frozen yogurt.
No, he's not going to risk getting a ticket. No. So this guy brings me a Slurpee, right? But he, and I, as I say, I go Postmates when you're high. Is like
$18 Slurpee?
Dude, if that. Oh. $17.50. And he's driving through, and it's like a video game with no controllers. The car's going through all this. And then he stops outside. At one point, he drove.
You're watching his car?
Watching the car on the thing, you know. And at one point, it went through. Sometimes the app will malfunction where the car goes past, like, where you are. And so it looked like it was driving through the walls of my apartment. I started to freak out. The pot had kicked in. And then he stops outside and he's like, hey, I'm here. And I'm like, cool, bring me the Slurpee. And to which he said, no, come and get it. And I'm like, it's in the notes to come to the door. I'm kind of a little bit not in a place to get up and move. I can't move. And he was like, well, I'm not coming to your door. If you want the Slurpee, you got to come get it. And I said, can you please bring it to me? I seriously
that's what
am
they
too
call?
High to move. And he said, no, if you want your Slurpee, you come get it. I'm not bringing it. I will leave it on the curb. And I said, prove it. And he sent me a picture of my Slurpee half tilted over on the curb.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, all right, did he do that like a gangster and be like, if you want the rest, you can lick it off the ground? Or did it fall over after he zoomed away, you know?
What was the answer to that?
Well, we didn't, there was no follow-up.
So did you pay for that?
Oh, yeah. I didn't know at this point that you could report.
Shocker.
You know, mafia Postmate drivers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then there was something that just came out that said 25% of Postmates drivers or food delivery drivers take some of your food.
Oh.
So
but it's way more. It's like a whole thing. That,
especially if it's fries. Like, if you have fries with your who's not going to reach over and grab, like, 3?
If the bag's there and it smells like it does.
Yeah. I get it, but I just, like, it's not laziness, but I'm just like, if you're getting food from the restaurant down the street, I don't know why.
Down the street, I know.
Obviously, it's doing well enough that the business, everyone knows it, and it's doing fine.
If your kids got to a point where that was, like, a side job, would you be okay with that?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Do you?
As long as they're employed.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I'm sure it'll be on my car insurance. So. Are they employed now?
Yeah.
The 11-year-old?
Yeah.
No, he doesn't have a job.
Is there a point, for you, you had to get a job at what age? Like, were your folks...
My parents stopped paying for our clothes at 6th grade.
Wow.
7th grade.
And then
get a job.
Look, if my mom were on the mic right now, she'd be like, that's not true. I was like, if I wanted the stuff I wanted, she would be like, you go right ahead.
Whoa.
No, we're not paying for it.
So did you get a job in the 7th grade?
Let's see. I did. My brother and I had a weeding and lawn service.
Nice.
We did a lot of that.
I did that for a little bit too. It's a popular business when you're a kid.
Yeah, because you don't have to pay taxes on the cash that the old lady gives you.
You just got to find the cool people in the neighborhood or surrounding neighborhoods that like have a little cash and big enough lawns.
Yeah. The problem was I was terrible at it.
Oh,
so,
God.
Yeah.
How much would you charge?
It was always like $20 a lawn.
Yeah.
Which was a lot.
Yeah.
In the 80s.
And that's,
before you guys were born.
And that's a flat rate. Didn't matter how big the lawn was.
And then, like, I remember this old lady, she's like, $20, I don't know. And then I did it. And then she's like, will you wash my cars? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, I'll give you a dollar. And I was like, yeah, I'm not going to.
I'll give you a dollar? Even in the 80s, that's highway robbery.
Well, she was very old. She remembered Seattle before there was a floating bridge.
She was like, do you know I met Michael Cage at Cucina Cucina Kitchen?
It's what used to just be Cucina back then. And then they added a second Cucina.
People didn't get that it was a kitchen. No. Wait, I did lawns for $60 a pop in the 90s.
That's a lot.
So times didn't change.
Was it you or the whole team?
No, it was me. It should have been a team. This motherfucker, the lawn had me do his whole like backyard lawn, which was just the hills in itself was just the cast of Sound of Music was coming up the left side, oof, fucking Tiny Toons the other side. And I went around the side and then he had me do like bagging leaves. It was one of those things where he, like, with the washing the
and
car.
And he counted it as.
He was like, you're already here. Like, he's like, these leaves are, they're in the side. He's like, I was like, that's not your lawn. He's like, if you just bag them, it'd be great.
And he's just like, here's your 60.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're like, but I also.
But I also did the leaves. He's like, yeah, but they were there.
Yeah. That when I think about some rich dude with, who's taken advantage of a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
Like,
well, to be fair, this was 3 days ago, but it's. So that's on me.
Where right now has leaves
out here? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there's no leaves here.
Do you want to hear a really awful story? And then I actually want to segue into if you ever pranked as a kid or got pranked on, because there were girls in the eighth grade that used to egg my house, teepee it, and then the kicker, my mom made me bag like, I don't know, probably 16 bags of leaves in the front yard. Mm-hmm. And I was okay with the eggs and the toilet paper. I was like, I can clean that off. But these bitches dumped 19 bags of leaves that I had raked. Probably spent a whole weekend all over the lawn. Devastating.
That's bad. Now, these were eighth grade girls.
Yes.
And you were how old?
Seventh grade. And there was like five of them.
Is this because you were, Adam Ray was so cute and the girls?
That's what my mom told me at first, but then I'm like, Mom, like.
What were you doing?
Well, so there was about five of them and five of us in the neighborhood. That
five
all kinda,
us, meaning us,
young,
seventh
grade boys, right?
Yeah. Oh, I see.
And everybody kind of had matched up with a gal, but. A couple of us hadn't. There was maybe two that were leading the charge on these hangouts becoming a frequent thing, right? Mm-hmm. But their way of at the end of the night would be to fuck with my house because I don't know why. But
at the end of the night, like,
yes, at the end of the night,
after we'd all the night, gals,
night's over, everyone's done what they've done.
So this happened all the time.
Oh yeah, but then it stopped.
And your mom wasn't calling the cops?
Nope, because she was like, "Nah, get it. Kids will be kids." She's like, "Just clean that shit up." But then here's when it stopped. I worked at Albertsons at the time, and so I went down to the night manager. I was like, "Hey, can you hook me up on like 190 rolls of toilet paper?" And he was like, "What? Why?" I was like, and he was real cool. He's like, "All right."
So we, by the way, a teenager asked for 190 rolls of toilet paper. You go, "What do you need that for?"
Yeah.
Well,
you should know.
I like to prepare. Yeah.
I'm eating a lot of beans this weekend.
We're going to destroy Aaron Zabukovec's house. And we did. And
that can't be a real last
guys,
name.
So the five guys, yeah. Okay. We walked through Lake Forest Park at like 3 in the morning, spent probably a good 3.5 hours.
You bet.
Yeah, and just destroyed this. I mean, and we got they had high trees and just.
And for those of you listening, Adam and I grew up in the Great Northwest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And when someone's house gets teepeed and it rains.
Oh, dude, devastating.
It's as bad as Chernobyl. Chernobyl was easier to clean up. Because that paper is designed to dissolve, but not you really know,
and absorb a lot of moisture. You know,
it just turns into like a
that's
bad that, frosting.
That's that's what HBO is doing for Chernobyl season two. It's just going to be
the Lake Forest Park. Yeah. What's her name? What's happened to her?
I don't know, but I know her dad was not pleased because he called all the parents and like reamed us out. And I remember I even like, "Oh, Mom, give me the phone." And I got on. And I was like, "Well, maybe they shouldn't fucking dump the leaves out, sir." And he was like, "Who is this?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I thought you knew. You called my house."
Is that what you sounded like when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Well, maybe they're going to leave that.
Remember, I transitioned.
That's true.
I transitioned.
You had a weird.
Wait, so did you ever do that, though? Did you ever.
You know, I wasn't.
Because you seem like you.
No, I really wasn't.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high. There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs.
People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD, and it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens, we got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Root beer, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best at any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KoiCBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KoiCBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf.
I remember one time there was, because there were so many houses being built on Mercer Island, because
Dang,
it was doing pretty well. and we would go to construction sites all the time and just run around. Like the workers would leave at 4 and we it was after school, so we would just go crazy. And I remember one time a hose got left on and I went, I was right by my house and this contractor was like, hey, and I was like, what? And he's like, did you leave this hose on here at some point? And I'm like, no, I didn't. Maybe Spencer did. And he was like, you did a lot of damage, or they did a lot of damage. And I was like, that sucks. Shoot. So that's not a great, but I never was like, I'm going to plan the most elaborate prank.
Heist.
I remember just like, my cousin and I turned my brother's alarm clock, we just made it seem like it was 6 a.m. and it was actually 12 and he woke up and got in the shower, but it's not a great one.
Yeah.
But I was never, like Jimmy Kimmel's the king of great pranks. Yeah.
Or Clooney, I hear always.
Yes,
Clooney.
And I don't have those advanced planning skills. I like sleeping. I didn't ever really, I'm trying to think.
Well, you didn't miss out. I mean, you say you're not a good prankster, but you did title your special Live from Pyongyang.
Available on Amazon. Yes, yeah. not shot in North Korea.
I will say this, man.
No, we've tricked several people thinking it was.
I was about to say, are people getting upset? Like, how'd you get the clearance?
No, they were like, how did you... Well, one, the wife, or... Man, I'm not going to point it out who it is. But somebody close in the circle was like...
Rita Rudner.
How did you... Yes, she's very... She was like, when did you guys go to Pyongyang? And I was like,
oh God.
Never.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be able to get there unless it was on the Dennis Rodman visa. Yeah. And it was shot. But people, the other weird thing is that people don't even ask about it. And doing interviews, they're like, live from Pyongyang. And then I go, God.
You mean,
don't you wonder what that is?
Yeah, that you haven't heard of the capital city of the country that's frequently saying they're going to nuke us.
Even if you don't know it's a joke, like, wouldn't you want to inquire about why you did it there and at least
Yeah, there
start
would be,
the conversation.
Like, don't you think you would have heard about it?
There wouldn't be like some massive thing.
I think you would have heard if somebody went and shot their comedy special there.
Yeah, because they'd be dead.
Yeah.
You shot at the San Jose Improv.
Yeah,
it looked gorgeous.
It's a wonderful. Which, Charlie Chaplin performed in that theater.
Yeah. No way.
That's how old that place is.
I love that room. It's and it looked great on film. And I will say this: I've seen you do stand up now for probably 3 years. And
yeah,
live, you're great, and man, it translated big time.
You're very nice,
and your material.
Even if
like
you're lying, because you say this to every comic on your couch.
No,
but
I don't.
We didn't say it to Rita Rudner.
She was here.
Yeah,
we Skyped her in.
Oh, all right. You're taking a dump on her now?
She, I was about to make a very inappropriate joke.
You?
No, no. We love Rita Rudner and hope she comes on the podcast.
I can't wait for the edit.
No, you have been working at it more so in the past couple of years.
Yes, I feel like I definitely wanted to not suck.
Yes, and so my compliment being that knowing all the work you've put in, it definitely showed because your material was strong, your timing was great. And I think for people that don't know that you do stand up, like, will know after this and go see your shows because of that. Because
I hope to God you're right.
Fuck
yeah,
man.
That's what they keep telling us. They're like, mm-hmm. Well, once you put one of these out, people will show
up.
Yeah.
Well, people will find it because it's, but you know, it's, and I think there's people that probably just, from whatever they know you from, don't. You should be able to go, oh, funny stuff, all this stuff. Oh, and stand, but it's like, especially from the soup, it's like, oh, and the Joel McHale show. It's like,
yeah, but like, I've been doing stand up for 15 years.
Yeah.
And people are like, I didn't know you did stand up. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
What have you been doing every weekend?
But people come see you when you go on the road, right? So maybe this is just to get to.
Are you guaranteeing that I'll be doing arenas after this?
It'll be you Dane Cook, Sebastian Maniscalco,
and Rudner.
Do you think that like Kevin Hart will be like at a opening, like we'll be like competing to see which arenas we can book?
Dude, wouldn't that be great?
Like, could sorry, happen. I got booked T-Mobile Field.
You can't do the Tacoma Dome.
You gotta go somewhere.
Yo,
else.
Disney on Ice. You're getting bumped. The McHale show is coming through.
Sorry, Joe and. I know you booked the. Yeah, they just did the Tacoma Dome.
Joe Rogan and Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
They set the record for attendance there.
That's crazy.
They beat out.
U2. No joke.
I was going to say Vertical Horizon, but yeah, U2 probably.
Well, no, because obviously you only need. I assume they did it in the round.
Yeah.
So. Right. So you need a small stage.
I mean, that's.
That's insane.
Pretty
insane.
Impressive.
Would you even want. Yeah, of course you'd want to do that, right? Just to see what it was
yes.
like. Yeah.
If someone. Like, I seen Gabriel Iglesias do it at the Staples Center. I was like.
He has a parking space at the Staples Center, like under the building.
I would give him that space.
He has a designated parking space.
How was comedy at Staples?
Well, you know what? He's very good.
Yeah.
And. Comedy on that level is kind of like rock and roll at that level.
Yeah.
You're buying something different, but you get the same reaction. I mean, I assume as a comic in a room that big, you have to go slower. You have to space it out. You
go slower and react bigger.
Yeah, you have to because, I mean, seeing you two at the Tacoma Dome is different than seeing them in a club.
Right.
He's obviously very professional and very funny and has made that transition. I remember seeing him in Irvine at the Improv there and he was great there, but I was like, oh, this is how it
he's
works.
He's supposed to be seen, yeah.
He's also a very nice man.
He's great.
He put me on his TV show, so.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, God bless Gabriel Iglesias. May he live 1,000 years and keep hiring me.
And Mr. Iglesias is coming back for season 2.
Thank you. Transition.
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Kevin Hench is their executive producer, so a showrunner. So.
Yeah. Wait, so did you enjoy filming the special? And how much prep did you do? How many weekends? How much? Was there a point with the.
As my wife would say, every weekend.
Yeah.
I was. Definitely, and for each show I did like 80 minutes, like 70 to 80, and Whoa. We cut it down to 55.
Yeah,
because I was like, this cannot be thin.
Yeah.
This has to be filled. Because
if you do 42,
you've all seen specials that you're like, oh, they have like 15 really good minutes, and then it's a lot of padding.
Yep.
And
yep.
I wanted to as my first. You know, venture into this. I was like, I cannot.
No, suck. You packed it in. You kept it moving, which was great.
That's all I care. I don't. Yeah, I can't. No, I thank you. I will take a dump on most of the things I do because I'm terribly insecure about that stuff, yeah. But I was like, I was dialed in and ready.
You were, dude.
Yeah, and I like, I was ready to get up there. So I mean, with the cameras and stuff, I like that stuff. So it ramps me up further. So
also knowing how, like you just said, like weirdly cynical and self-deprecating you can be, you looked like you were having a lot of fun.
I was.
Yeah, that came across.
I was a couple times, I'm like, oh, you're just having a good time.
Yeah.
And then I could tell when I had screwed up a joke, I'm like, got to get it next time. you know, like, but those little things that you do. Yeah. So anyway, in conclusion, it's the greatest special ever made.
And actually made in Pyongyang.
Wait, why did that? We didn't even get to why that was the title choice.
I was just throwing out titles. And I was like, how about Joel McHale live from Joel McHale Theater? And
also great.
Yeah. But so then they were like, we like that Pyongyang one. And it's funny, like with the number of, I'm not going to say who it was, but not, it wasn't a late night talk show. I'm not going to even say it. It's just going to look. I'll just say that when I read that, when they saw the title, they're like, yeah, my audience is not going to get that. and I was like, okay. it's fine.
And then now the special is out there, do you have some added pressure to write new
stuff? Come up with another hour?
Yeah. So when people come see you again, you're like, well, shit.
I started doing that like 4 months ago and working in new stuff. So now I feel like I'm about 50%.
Wow.
I don't think it's necessarily a good 50%, but it's definitely
to start shopping up and working.
There's a lot there too. Because the stuff that we threw away from the taping, I can put that back in.
Of course.
There you go.
But that does not necessarily mean it's the best material.
But
then they told me, like, well, once you put on a special, that's it. You're not going to do it anymore. Someone told me that, and I was like, really? It's like saying goodbye to my children.
Yeah.
I
put them on a bus to school. You're never going to see them again.
Yeah, that's it.
In fact, they might even be better than your kids because your act actually fed you.
Right.
And provided you with, you know, money and sustenance.
Yeah.
Kids never did that.
I don't know.
Right. They just drained me.
So they're better than your children.
I do want to discuss this whole, like, throwing it away. Like, Sebastian Maniscalco said that he, you know, even on certain shows, he'll do, you know, if he's building the new hour, obviously he doesn't have a whole new hour yet, but he'll do 10 to 15, sometimes 20 minutes of, because he's doing a longer show, like, of stuff he's done before, because people want to see that. And I'm also like, I mean, how kind of narcissistic are we truly to be like, once we put it out there, everybody's seen it.
Right.
You know, like, so I do, I mean, I get the challenge.
If you're Dave Chappelle, people, or you're Joe Rogan, people are going to see.
I think there's a small number of people.
There's a very small group.
Right. But so for other people, I'm like, I get if you want to challenge yourself and whatever, but I don't know, I just don't.
Yeah. You should just count it as part of the canon.
Yeah.
That you have and can draw from.
And maybe not doing 30 minutes of it in your new hour, but like having a few things here and there to always still kind of. I don't know.
I mean, obviously.
I can only speak from the level I'm at. So it's like maybe if I got there and there was a true demand.
I know you're a level 3 right now, but you.
I'm transitioning.
No, I agree. And there's comics that I want to see bits they do. I was like, I want to see this bit live.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then you can see the way, it's like a musician at their top of their game where you're like, play that song I love and kick the shit out of it.
I know how Teenage Dream sounds on this on the album. Yeah. I want to see Katy Perry do it live.
Right. So.
Like you said, the great musicians.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. She can fucking sing though. Boy.
She can, dude.
And I worked with her one time. I was like, no, she was very nice.
When?
We did a PSA for voting in 2016.
Oh, you just got Adam's attention.
Boy, yeah.
Because she's his number one.
Oh.
She was.
Well, we were, if it's any consolation, we were half naked in the backseat of a car.
Send me the link.
Everything was covered. She was very nice. She was all about voting. So she was pushing the comedy, and I was like, great.
Nice.
She's.
Yeah, there's certain. Well, I guess I just saw her change her hair. By the way,
her hair change is what turned you off.
It was a part of it, and her antics on Idol. She just got a little too kooky.
You watched Idol.
Yeah,
you watch it for her.
I watched it for actually her and Lionel because
Lionel
Richie to me. Did
you watch Masked Singer?
No.
Dear Ken Jeong, never come on this show.
Right.
Here's what I will say about Idol. By the way, you'd be a great judge on one of those shows.
I was on Masked Singer last year, geniuses.
What?
Yeah.
I've never seen
that
it.
That was Adam Ray who brought that.
Well, I was on two of the 12 episodes or whatever it was.
Break that show down for me.
Well, as you would have seen, the whole time I'm going, what are the rules? I said it all the time. I was like, awesome. I don't even know what I'm judging. I don't know if I'm judging the singing. Or I'm guessing. I don't know which it is.
It is quite a daunting task when they tell you, all right, guess who this singer is, and you can't see anything. And then based on the singers that are revealed, you're like, oh, so it could literally be anyone. It could be Snooki. Well,
anyone alive.
It could be anyone alive.
Well, with someone like Snooki, we assume Snooki can't sing very well. Oh, Snooki might be able to sing great, but not as good as a professional singer.
Yes. Right.
And you can tell when these people start singing, you're like, oh, this person knows what they're doing. Anyway, when I get up there, I always go, I don't know what I'm doing. What I realize, it's just one very long, complicated unboxing video.
Yeah.
And people are fascinated. And I was like, I get it. I was fully sucked invested, in. Huh? I was like, who is this? They're great.
Is it Frank Sinatra Jr. or the Boom Goes the Dynamite guy?
Boom Goes the Dynamite.
What if he just said that and they're like, dude, you at least have to try to sing.
You got it. You got it.
Wait, so they come out in like furry outfits?
I can't believe I'm explaining this.
It's okay.
It's a hit show.
No, it's like, now what is this baseball you speak of? How does it work?
Put Lionel Richie on because here's what made me watch actually Idol with Lionel Richie. Yeah. There was one clip. It might have been on the Joel McHale show with Joel McHale.
I'm fine. That one?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Dude.
Yeah, the one with the bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking I knew it was.
Well, that's why the show continues today. Oh, that's right.
I missed that show. But that was great. You played that clip so...
We played it a lot.
Yeah, you did. It's a video. If you haven't seen it, look up the clip from the Joel McHale show with Joel McHale. He falls out of a chair and goes, I'm fine, in a very Lionel Richie distressed yelp.
Well, because he was not fine. His chair broke and he's an old man.
Now, were you more proud of being on The Masked Singer or a judge on Iron Chef?
Somebody's looking at Wikipedia as we do the podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
Just so you know, Brad is going, I can't do it. I cannot simulate it. But it would be the worst date of all time because he's trying to keep the conversation going.
Yeah.
He's like, I understand you have a...
Well, also, I have a giant iPad.
And a story about peanut butter?
I have a giant iPad in front of me, which on me looks even larger. So it's really hard to do it discreetly.
So many short jokes.
Nice segue, Byron Allen.
Need to. Well, Iron Chef was, that's 2006.
Let's talk about it. I like to keep it recent.
Yeah, I had a newborn. Now that newborn is 14. It was really fun.
Let's talk about your part in Lords of Dogtown.
Wow.
Wow, Brad.
Cut out of the movie. Cut out of the movie.
Were you really?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Thanks.
All right, Brad. Let's talk about my parents' divorce next.
Yeah. Anyway, Joel, what did you think of New Coke?
Thank God you're here. How was that experience for you?
Just go down the list there.
Spider-Man 2.
You're going to run out of credits here soon. Training video. Microsoft.
Public access TV in Washington.
Talk to the customer. Wait,
did you really do a training video?
I've done numerous training videos.
That was the first gig I ever booked out here for Verizon.
Oh.
So
I booked them all in Seattle because Microsoft was cranking them out.
Yeah.
Were you in a sexual harassment video?
No, it was all... I'm sorry.
I was hoping.
Brad,
no,
to know
I was
to
all no. I'm. I was all sort of like you're dealing with the customer wrong.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
But in a fun, funny way, or
hilarious. It was
in
always
fact,
like
I booked community always, from these.
Right. It would be like
these tapes.
No, it was. I think we did. We had like a whole medieval reenactment where they would be like, "I would like a mug of mead," and they were like, "Who?" And then you'd be like, "I don't know. You get out of my." It's like, don't treat them that way.
They're clearly homeless and losing their mind.
Make sure you get to them before they even ask for it. And say, may I offer you a mug of mead?
No way.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
That's great.
Yeah, that I don't know where that is.
Oh, we have to unearth that.
Have your kids taken an interest in the in the work
of, career
of dad yet? Yeah.
Because
I feel like 14 and 11, you said?
Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
How about
okay,
five? Good. Five? Five more?
How long have we been on?
In 10, we'll be on for an hour. I think that's good.
No, we're good. Okay.
10 more yet?
Yeah, 10, please. they have gotten into community. They like that.
Love that.
Good.
It's funny because my 11-year-old, when I am kissing a lady that's not, you know, mom,
yeah.
He just kind of gets up, walks out, walks back in, sits back down.
Whoa.
And I'm like, yeah, I get it. And I'm so early on, I was like, you know, I'm not with those ladies. I'm with mom. I love your mom. Mm-hmm. She's the lady for me.
Yeah.
And that's just pretending. I'm also pretending my name is Jeff. And my 14-year-old's like, yeah, whatever. I want to see Chang. And so they're very, yeah, they like that. But there's been, they didn't really like The Great Indoors. But they were also a little bit young for that show. Mm-hmm.
So they probably will go back and go through the catalog. What about the special? Will you let them, Live from Pyongyang?
I would let them watch that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they have any desire.
Really?
Because they're only a couple years away from, at least 14-year-old, from like being able to maybe go to a club and see which is kind of cool.
But I think it's kind of like, I don't know, what did your dad do? What does your dad do?
Lawyer.
Doctor.
Yeah, so there's that thing where if dad does that thing, they're not really interested in that thing.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Also, for those of you listening, how many do you have? 3? Subscribers?
We might have lost 2
just from that transition.
Just from your whole, like, my kid likes my shit, you know? Like,
right. Oh, true. I didn't even think about it. They were into that voice.
They were really hoping for some Spider-Man 2 talk.
Yeah.
Oh, it's, yeah.
If you want to gain back a listener.
No, if they see something like Spider-Man 2, they're like, how come you don't play a superhero? Yeah. They'll throw that and be like, so you got that part, but why wasn't it, bigger?
Wow.
I mean, they're also teasing at the same time, the best way. But they also, because, for those of you out there, if you live in Hollywood or the Valley or anywhere near, like literally like 80% of the people are all working in entertainment, whether it's from some A-list celebrity to a gaffer to to craft services to a driver. Everyone works in the business because this is how this city started.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they know a lot of, like, their friend, most of their friends' dads and moms work in the business somehow.
Cool.
So they kind of don't see it as that big of a deal.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So they wouldn't get starstruck.
Maybe they do, and they're just, I'm sure they get starstruck by, I don't know, the creator of Fortnite.
Isn't it crazy, by the way, that what a great example that kid, let's say like Morgan Freeman, Betty White, and the creator of Fortnite, like all pulled up in an SUV and got out.
Yeah, they're not gonna. Yeah, they'll know one of them.
They're like, "Where's B. Arthur?
Right.
Who are you, Seal?" And then they'll be like, "Hey, is that?"
Yeah, and they'll be like, "Racist." Seal joke.
Do they play Fortnite?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, have you played it with them?
I play in the pro am. Yeah, I'm not good. I'm terrible. Any Fortnite player listening, which is the kids in the car right now, they'll be like, "You're right. He's terrible."
What is that now? Was that you trying to take an interest in your children's interests, or
it was symbiotic? No, not symbiotic. It was
semisonic
synergy. Semisonic. It was closing time. And no, it just kind of worked out that because I've always liked video games and I talk about it quite a bit, and so I ended up playing some of it. My kids are 1,000 times better.
They should be.
Yeah.
If you're better.
Because I never got into Minecraft, and that requires that skill as well as shooting in a third person way. And it's near impossible.
Yeah.
Did you have a favorite game that you tried to get them into?
Grand Theft Auto. No.
Sorry for that boring question, apparently.
Not a lot of fucking sleep. No. Grand Theft Auto. No. No. They played their games, and I would play, like, Mario Kart is a great game to play together.
Yes. Yeah.
And it really is a good game. And then we play that Rocket League together sometimes with the soccer balls, but with cars. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever a Nintendo Wii guy?
No.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah. I wasn't. I was a Nintendo guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then when the Xbox X1,
changed the game.
Yeah, Xbox X1, Xbox One X, excuse me, Xbox, Microsoft, but that, yeah, I mean, obviously these machines, and the new PS4, that terabyte thing is.
Oh, yeah. I was one of the dum-dums and probably one of 10 people who bought a Sega Saturn. Do you remember when that came out?
Look at you, yeah.
It was Sega trying to, it was almost like when
Yeah,
and, when
Pepsi, I had one of those.
When Pepsi was like, hey, what about Crystal Clear? And everyone's like, right, fuck off. And they were like, we'll give you three free games.
But it was really good.
It was.
It was really good. It's one of those things.
They gave you Gran
things.
Turismo. They gave you like Star Fox. Or
yeah, it was or, the. I guess it was the Laserdisc of... Yeah. So folks out there, Laserdiscs were a way to watch movies when VCRs were still a thing.
Yeah.
And they looked 100 times better.
They did.
But they just never caught on.
Couldn't get kids into it.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Are you a Madden guy? Speaking of football coming up.
My 11-year-old is very good at Madden, and awesome. I'll play him. He won't beat me 100-0. He's very good. Mm-hmm. And he'll play online and beat guys.
And talk shit? You hear him in the other room?
Yeah. You
come in and try to get on the mic and give him a...
He's one of those kids that are like, he'll be playing, and I'll be like, how's it going? He's like, the guy's swearing. Or he'll just mute. He won't talk. He won't engage. Talk to them. Mm-hmm. He's not interested.
It makes you happy as a parent, right?
Yeah, I'm like, good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes me very happy.
Well, I think I'll have a problem. I think I'll get on the mic and be like,
hey, who TP'd that girl?
Is this Aaron Zabugabeg's dad?
Aaron Zabugabeg. Perfect name.
It's a great...
You got to look, see if she's... I mean, that's... Well, she's...
Do you want to hear the names of those girls, actually?
Yeah.
That were, let's see if I can remember. There was Nicolette Dresbeck.
Yeah.
Yeah, she backed up that
sounds
name.
Like a badass
yeah, she
female
was
action star.
Full, she was
that sound,
like, I want to say like 5'10 in the eighth grade, striking blonde, like was the hot girl, but also was like the triple star athlete.
What happened
Nicolette
to her?
Dresbeck. She...
She transitioned into Engelbert Humperdinck.
Into Engelbert Humperdinck. Who?
Engelbert wow. Humperdinck.
Yeah, nice.
Why that name? Yeah. What a weird reference.
Boy, for all the improv saves you could have gone with.
Because that was a very weird name.
A very
name.
Aged singer at the
yes.
time.
That's like Pippen throwing an alley-oop to Jordan and he just kicks the ball into the stands.
Yeah, and then Jordan going, I did it! Listen, look what I did.
Someone bet me that I couldn't fit Engelbert Humperdinck into the conversation.
Fair enough.
Okay. Good one. Yeah, no, I get it. All right.
Nikki Jones was one.
Oh, that's another good name.
And then was it maybe Trina Howard? Was that one? All Not right. to be confused with Adina Howard, who had a couple hits in the 90s. Freak Like Me. Remember that?
No.
Okay, moving on. What do you listen to? We've talked about this at social gatherings, but like, what is your, when you're driving over here, okay, and you've had
today.
A full day. Yeah.
Well, today is unique.
Full day of press.
My friend sent me this, like, on first listen to, I forget what the guy's, he's on YouTube, and he is I think he's a gentleman from the South, and he had never heard Black Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
And so they played War Pigs, and I was like, oh my gosh, that song is good. So cut to me
yeah.
blasting War Pigs. So for those of you out there who haven't listened to War Pigs,
mm-hmm.
or I can see how in the background people are like, oh yeah, that thing. Put headphones on and close your eyes and see that this song came out in 1970, and it was pretty remarkable. Yeah.
yeah.
Anyway, then... The kids are listening to that Spider-Man, Spider-Verse soundtrack.
Is it pretty good?
It's, yeah, they got that that Sunflower song. That,
from but, Post Malone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I saw, I met this guy named Denzel Curry on Fallon, and he is like 23, and he walked out and just blew the doors off the place.
Fuck.
And I was like, who's this guy?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the guy.
It's hard to keep up.
Oh. That's Jay Larson comedy that I was going to look up the... Wow, Jay Larson.
Was that your phone?
Great guy. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so that... what else? See, I need to look it up. Oh, I just downloaded the soundtrack from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which if you haven't seen that movie...
Just saw. What did you think?
And... absolute masterpiece, and it should be nominated for every single...
I love that you said that, man.
It should be nominated for everything you can possibly nominate it
Corolla
for.
And Mike August did not like it. They didn't hate it, but they were like, they just gave a very neutral view, and I was like, all right, well, I already wanted to see it a lot, but I think Brad Pitt and Leo cannot do wrong. And I literally could have watched that movie for another 4 hours, like, of just them
yes.
on the screen.
If, for those of you going into it, this is how I like to premise everything. I always have to, that it, don't think it, doing like, this movie didn't have, it wasn't 90 minutes, it should have done this, and
right.
people go like, it didn't follow the formula that I am used to, in which case, and you go like, why does any movie have to follow this formula
yeah,
that you
have to
subscribe? It's, yeah. a masterpiece.
Love that you said that.
It's really funny.
Yep.
And the acting is out of this world. I think it is. I could watch. People said to me, like, Brad Pitt's going to get the Oscar for this one. And I was like, I think Leonardo DiCaprio is going to get the Oscar
Thank
for
this. Thank you.
They both should be. It is so.
It's a clinic.
It is so watchable and good. I mean, every moment is good. And boy, terrifying and funny at the same time.
Yeah.
It's hard to pull off.
And it looked, I mean, you just expect that from Tarantino, but like they I feel like they captured the time, right?
And yeah. But there's a thing that, and now I'm just kissing his ass, but there's a thing that that Stanley Kubrick did and Tarantino did, and I think Steven Soderbergh does.
And Shel Silverstein tried to do.
With A Sidewalk Ends, yeah. Where he did do it. How dare you? Where there's a couple of filmmakers like those guys, you know it's their movie when you're watching it, but you're like, I can't figure out what they're doing, but I know it's...
Yeah, it's their style.
But it's got me.
Yeah.
So I just... like what's his name, the movie Green Room, which was a revelation for me 3 years ago, which you should watch. It's Green Room. Mm-hmm. Anton Yelchin's last movie before he was accidentally died. You watch this movie and you're like, this filmmaker, there's something about it, but it there you go.
Brad Pitt, I feel like, is one of the most... And I feel like he gets his due credit, but like, I think we just go, he's fucking hot and he's a good, he's got this quiet, calm, he's got a calming charisma to him that he's just always likable and always great. So you just don't even really throw him in a category of being great. Like Moneyball, I literally could watch 50 times in a row.
What's that?
I could, Moneyball?
Yeah, what's that?
Oh, for real?
No. if Brad Pitt were a very ugly man, he would still be awards. One of the best actors. I mean,
I think
he
so,
would
yeah.
yes, he would have risen to...
And there could be people out there right now that are like, could be, that guy's fucking heinous, you know?
That Brad Pitt is?
There's probably people... Look, there's everyone is not everyone's cup of tea.
Sure, but genuinely...
Who is that person?
But generally, people are, that...
they can recognize...
I think also someone like Michael B. Jordan is not recognized for how good he is this point.
Yeah.
And obviously, very good looking.
Yeah.
But when you look at what he does... Like his performance in Black Panther, I was like, that guy is that
Took
guy
a class.
Owns that shit.
Meisner, you know, I don't know, but I just meant he's good. He's good.
No, I get what you're saying.
If you have 3 hours to kill, should you see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood or should you stream?
If you have 6 hours to kill, you should see it twice.
Or should you stream every episode of Card Sharks on the ABC app?
Is it on the ABC app?
I'm looking at it right now.
Is it also on Hulu? Why don't you check that out and get back to us?
Okay. I'll be right back, guys.
I would say, as we all know, everyone has free time, and so you should do both.
And watch... you are great on Card Sharks, by the way. It's
you watch that?
Yep.
It is on Hulu.
Bless you.
I support friends, man.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, hopefully it comes back.
Fun to shoot? Before we wrap this up,
it actually is really fun to shoot.
Because you block to them, right?
We did all 8 in 2.5 days. But it's very, you see it up close when I was like, well, the game is very simple. It's just saying higher or lower to cards. But when you have 250 grand riding on an 8, whether it's higher or lower, all of a sudden it's like climbing a ladder on an icy night, putting up Christmas lights on your home.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's just a regular day. And now you're 20 feet in the air and
yeah.
the stakes have never been higher. And and I watched a woman, she flipped a card over and she won 260 grand on a card flip. And
that's awesome.
Her body like shimmered. I mean, she was like, she had ripped the space time continuum open. And I was so happy for her.
Yeah.
But then when you see people lose the money, it is.
Ruins your day probably.
Yeah.
Mine. I'm getting paid. but you see how you go. And there's, you know, people think, oh, these things are rigged or they make it look. And I was like, no, you have to play the game.
Yeah.
Because
there's lawsuits in place.
There is more policing of the game shows than there is most, I would say.
I'd say presidential elections.
Look at what you did.
Timely.
I mean, they would stop you. Like, you cannot say what you just said. You cannot lead them. You cannot. And I'm like, all right, I'll pull back.
Because you want to, right? Well, I do think it's a skill set that I don't think you have shown enough of. Because obviously you're good with people on couches and the bits you would do on Soup or Joel McHale show. But you know what I'm saying? Like, seeing you interact with people like that, God with those types you. Of stakes, I think is
maybe I made a mistake. Why you got it. Gone into that, but
no, but yeah, but I feel like this is, and again, compliment, but also you need a gig like that, that the timing works out and where it's showing you in your best light too. For I would only imagine that people are seeing that being like, oh yeah, now fucking put him next to more like, you make those people look good, and it's a fun dynamic, you know.
Yeah, I don't sit and go, I don't know what you're talking. Yeah, I mean, you have.
But you're a good listener. Like, yeah, you're keeping it moving. Thank but like, you. But also the
okay, people. Okay, fine. I'll give you some money.
You want my Venmo is Adam. Because you need, and this is why comedians I think do make good hosts for this stuff, is because like, you know, you can do the gameplay enough to where it's not so hosty. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You got to keep the ball in the air, definitely. Yes. And well, you can just edit around it if you can.
yeah.
Which, but I got some free suits out of it, and I'm very happy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well,
I'll be wearing those next time if it comes back.
Please do.
for the next special.
For the next special,
live from Moscow.
Well, that's not as good because I could do it in Moscow.
Yeah, you could do it in Moscow,
okay,
Brad.
Okay, hold on.
Brad, no, see, comedy.
Here's how it works. There's not a lot of other places on earth
that haven't been touched for specials.
Yeah,
I mean, live from Mar-a-Lago.
You do know that, like, Robin Williams, or like, but no, it was Billy Crystal did live from Moscow in the 80s.
Son of a bitch.
What about like Disney World or Legoland or fucking the Spaghetti Factory, the old Spaghetti Factory?
Gone. Destroyed.
Can we
Seattle Spaghetti Factory.
I'm gonna do the best like Zoom black and white dun dun dun, because that was a genuine reaction I just had.
You didn't know that?
No.
Oh yeah, I read about it.
The Seattle one?
Yes. Now for folks out
yet
there,
we've kept Tubbs.
It's there. Tubbs is still no,
I
around.
I think they got rid of Tubbs.
I think that's gone.
All right, we're gonna use both.
I think
those.
The water was used as a way they put it into cruise missiles.
For those of you
used in the Iraq War,
we don't know what Tubbs was. It was a place in the U District, the University District,
and there was one in Bellevue.
Yikes!
With all the Mercer Island kids,
probably a little nicer. It was a place where you could, hey, you know how sometimes you go rent a car for a vacation? You could go to this place and rent a hot tub. Oh, Adam, for your home? No, just to stay in at the place
by the hour. And they advertised on television.
Yeah. Come on down to Tubbs Subs. Have you ever been inside a stranger at a place? I'm paraphrasing what the commercial was.
It was like, no, but they'd be like, there's a bed and a shower and a jacuzzi. And that was a perfect. I remember the Bellevue one was near Pizza and Pipes, which was an actual restaurant that had a organ. And then you'd be served pizza. And that was a very popular place in Bellevue for a long time.
Dude, Bellevue used to crush it. What happened? Now they just have Microsoft.
Microsoft, Bellevue Square.
Maybe they had to close Tubbs because too many Microsoft guys were going to. Okay.
Yeah. So, too many. Yeah. They would. I think, again, the walls must have been radioactive with disease. That you could not go near. You had a Geiger
counter. It's impressive they stayed alive as long as they did, you know?
Yeah.
What do you think the Tubbs owner's doing right now?
Oh, they're dead. They've been dead for years.
If they spent any time in those tubs, they didn't make it past 60.
Yeah. They were had like a convertible cabriolet with the Wayfarers, like the tie that was tied just to the skin. But, but anyway, but that set up the Spaghetti Factory.
Yes.
So in Seattle, so the Spaghetti Factory, for those of you who have it, usually it's in a mall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, this spaghetti, it's a chain. But in Seattle, it was in a very old building, and we thought, well, this is where all spaghetti is made. And it was...
We did.
This is the factory.
It was a super old-timey, wonderful place, and it was in this very old building. I really thought, well, I only thought there was one growing up, and I think it's apartments.
Damn,
I literally think it's condos. They might have kept the facade and then built, you know, the... Grand.
Where were you, Bill Gates? You know, here you are saying you're a man of the people. Oh, you're donating to cancer research. Well, hey, man,
Well, he's curing the world of AIDS.
He is. And I do want to mention that. I do want to plug that.
You're plugging AIDS?
You could have saved Marinara.
He gave away all his money. Other than that, you're right. You should have saved that spaghetti franchise.
Well, maybe you can do that.
I love the pictures of Bill Gates standing alone at Dick's. Dick's Burgers, everybody, is a very popular
fast food chain. It's the burger to get
in Seattle.
Yeah.
And
there's pictures of him by himself there?
Yeah, just by himself getting a burger.
I love that.
And if you ever go to Seattle, anybody out there, that is where you go.
Oh, it's the best.
Billionaires. Yeah. They're just like us.
They are.
That guy.
He's not even a bill. He's probably, I mean, trillion, right?
Well, he probably has like 2 billion.
No, shut up.
I think so.
That's impossible.
He is now, I forget who's the richest, because with Bezos getting a divorce, his is cut in half.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
he still is, though.
But isn't that, what about that guy in Mexico? Slim? He was
Slim? Slim Jim guy?
Oh, not Slim Jim.
Oh.
Well, he died.
Why do all my favorite mascots die?
The wrestler.
Yeah. I thought he just met the owner of the
Macho Man Savage.
Yeah.
I was talking about the actual creator of the jerky
I don't know.
Stick.
He can't be. I mean, they've been around a while. Maybe.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of salted meat.
You know, Marvin Twinkie died. Okay. We're not putting that on your reel.
How dare you? All right, guys.
You're the best, Joel. Thank you.
I'm going to go take a nap.
Yes.
And then wake up.
Thank you for making time. Special Crushed, Amazon.
Thank you to your tens of listeners.
Dude, they're going to love this. You're going to get a bump.
A bump?
Get out, everybody.
What are you promising?
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Man, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?